Horrible. Intros are the hardest part, Vince.
You just got to get excited, man.
Oh, I'm excited. Pumped. Are you excited?
It's early, but I'm feeling it right now. Right, I'm feeling
cool.
Good.
Cool. Well, the best stuff happens early. We'll just go with that. How about that? The best stuff happens early here at this podcast. You're listening to Choose Our Misadventures. That's the name we came up with. This is Dr. Man Bear Pig. It's kind of cool to say that now. It's not DRM3CIX, because how do you say that? Nobody knows how to say that. So this is Dr. Man Bear Pig welcoming you to our first of...
our adventure.
This
together.
Is our adventure. Yes, the choosing of our misadventures here as we talk about destiny and, well, what else is there to talk about? Destiny, because that's how we know each other. So we're going to talk to you guys about, you know, what we know about destiny too. Well, what we officially know about Destiny 2. Let's not get too far with all the rumors, because there could be a rumor that the Gjallarhorn's coming back, but is that out there yet? No, but I'm sure if somebody listened to it, they'll go on Reddit and go, oh my God, the Gjallarhorn's coming back.
We could just make rumors. This whole podcast is just going to be us saying we know a guy who knows a guy who was in our Twitch stream who said that the Gjallarhorn was coming back.
Gjallarhorn's coming back. But it's not called the Gjallarhorn. It's called the Gjallarhorn. And it's spelled with a Y or a J or something weird. But anyway, so welcome to the show. So this is Dr. Manbear Pig. I'm joined by Vincent Shiner, who's also in our clan. And we're just going to talk about Destiny. Vincent, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Excited.
Nice.
Excited to talk about D2, finally.
Oh, yeah.
Almost upon us.
We're 10 days away as of the recording. And who knows, by the time you listen to it, it could be we're going to be a lot closer, obviously, because that's how time works. but it's pretty cool. The PC beta is coming out tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern. And I'm just excited to see that, even though it's the same exact. Well, not same exact. It's like
something different, right? 90... Didn't they add something?
Yeah, PvP stuff, but I don't play PvP, so it doesn't matter. But I'm just excited to see the game run at 60 frames on my own rig. I know you got some work to do to get yours to be running to 60.
No, I am just such a noob in that department. Like, I can't really tell the difference between 30 and 60.
No, do you have a TV, or have you seen a TV that's got that, like, high refresh rate thing going? I mean, because you're a sports guy. Have you even watched, like, golf see the ball roll across the green? You're like, ooh, that looks like I'm actually there. No?
The only thing I can really tell a difference is like HD and non-HD, right? You watch like a sporting event on non-HD and you're like, what is this?
That's true. But there's more. There's more. So there's the refresh rate in televisions can help out with how it makes it real. And the big thing that everybody knows about is, well, not everybody knows, but it's like the telltale sign that your TV has got the high refresh rate or not, is if you watch a movie like, say, Star Wars or something older... 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s, kind of, it's in that slow, and I think it's 24 frames is what they really film it at, but you watch the movie and it looks like a soap opera. You're like, why? It's fluid motion. It's almost like they're walking by, but like for me, I saw Star Wars for the first time on a high refresh rate TV, and I'm looking at Han Solo walk, and I'm like, no, I can't do this, because you've seen it so many times. In the older style, you know, looking film, and you see it like this, like, no, I don't want to ruin it, even though it's enhancing it, but that's what Destiny 2 is going to look like. We're so used to playing on the PlayStation at 30 frames, it's just, you know, it's natural, and you go to the computer, I'm going to probably feel like it's too fast, not like it, and just stop playing it. Others have been clamoring for this. That's all they want, Vince. They want 60 frames on a PlayStation, kind of like Overwatch. Oh.
I get it, right? I mean, you pay all that money, you get your fancy PC, and you want to flex.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm excited / nervous for the PC guys, just because I hope it's just done well.
Yep.
Because I think if it's done well, it'll help grow the community, and you know, the more people really play in Destiny, I think the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. At first, when
they
go announced...
from that to that, it's not like just a straight kind of crappy port, and then, you know, it actually plays well and feels good, and like you said, the adjustment, you know, like mouse and keyboard to, you know, controller, kind of that back and forth. If you're doing both, be a little wonky, but
and the controls are gonna be different too, in a way that, you know, like Dr. Lupo on Twitch, is famous because he uses the XIM, the XIM device that calibrates his mouse and keyboard to PlayStation or to Xbox. But the thing that he always talks about on stream is that console games naturally have an aim assist to help with the controller latency. And mouse and keyboard on PC obviously is 1-to-1. So it's going to be an adjustment for even someone like him who's pretty good at mouse and keyboard. And, you know, if you have folks that still go into stream and call him an asshole for using it, thinking that he's cheating, but it's like, bro, if you actually know what's going on, it's actually harder using mouse keyboard on PlayStation. He might have an adjustment that he has to do because he's so used to playing it on console with the, all right, I know that if somebody walks by, it's going to take my reticle away because that's just what aim assist does, and it's not going to do that on PC. So that's going to be an adjustment for folks like that too, but I don't know. I know people were nervous that it was going to split the community because you got a lot of people who are on console, and we have a few people in our clan that are, we're in that same boat. I remember back when they announced PC, it's like, I'm only on console because this is where it was at, but oh my God, if it's on PC, bye. But I don't know, like it's people are going to stick around or do both, or, you know, it's just overall, like you said, it's going to be great for the community. You know, you get people playing it. In all walks of life, and that's only going to spell success for later games, later expansions, and stuff like that.
And I think there's, you know, there's a difference between, like, you know, if I'm choosing to play a game on PC versus console, like if it was like Horizon Zero Dawn.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it's a game that's designed to look beautiful, but I'm playing it by myself. You know, I'm going through the story and progression, and I'm having a great time. I want it to look amazing. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think if you're talking about a game like Destiny, where you are kind of building a community, you're playing with others. For me, it's always about playing where your people are at.
Yep.
And so I imagine community-wise, you know, a lot of the big streamers are going to be switching a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
And they're going to find what's best for them. And just like, you know, the people in this clan, you know, you might want to load up on PC and run a couple of strikes and putts around in the patrol land by yourself solo. But then when it's raid time, you know, you're ready to jump back on console. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I just hope it's smooth. I hope it's smooth, smooth, smooth.
No, absolutely. So we played the beta. You and I played it back in July. And so, you know, it seems like eons ago. It was only, what, it was 45 days ago. What did you take from the beta that you're like, man, why was this never in the original Destiny? Like, what's going on with this? Like, what excited you so much about playing any part of it? We don't want to talk about specific things, but any part of the beta.
Well, I think, man, what excited me the most, I just think it looked really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, obviously you're going to have, you know, the graphics are going to look better. It's a newer game. But I just think, like, the layout and way they designed all of the menus and whatnot were just done really, really well. And I know Bungie's, like, won awards and whatnot on that.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of crazy to me how, like, just different and, like, crisper it looked.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I appreciated slash didn't appreciate was the differences of like the gameplay, right? So you still had the same, it still felt the same, but there are all these like little subtle differences that at first I didn't like, because, you know, I really liked Destiny 1 and I was like, I just want a Titan skate. Where's my shotgun and my bazooka?
Yeah, right.
You know, and those types of things. But the more that you kind of played it, the more you kind of think about it, it's like, these are the type of switches in terms of like a longevity sense of, like, it's just a different adjustment. You know, you're going to learn to master it. You know, I joined Destiny late around the Taken King era, but, you know, everybody I talked to about like playing PvP in like Destiny 1, and you watch like videos of like Luminosity going off for like a 60 kill clash game or something. And it's like, just people like just didn't know how to play. You know, they didn't know how to Titan Skate. They didn't know how to move. They didn't know how to, in like, take advantage of all that movement speed and
use it to their advantage to really close in the encounter space, so the other people are like, I don't know what to do, boom, you're already dead. Totally.
Yep. And so I'm excited for that for D2, of like, there's a whole new little thing, it's a wrinkle, new wrinkles to kind of master and to play around with.
Yep.
That's what I kind of took away from it.
Cool.
It was real limited, you know, what we could see.
And apparently,
storytelling wise, it was good.
And apparently, it was an older build. Like, even though they said that we're getting a fresh build, it seemed like when the beta came out, other folks from Bungie came out. I was like, oh yeah, that was a build from a couple months ago. I'm actually surprised. Like, for example, Luke Smith came out and said he was surprised that the fans in the end of the story mission, there apparently is only supposed to be one.
Those fans were OP. How many times did you die on those before you cleared it?
Honestly, the first time I played it, I didn't die, and everybody else was complaining. I was like, what's everybody complaining about? It's called use your right stick to look around.
MLG, man. I think I died like four times. I was like, I'm so slow.
Yeah.
I was on Warlock, though, so I was just floating around like an idiot, just getting cut in half.
But I think there's less blades, or there's, I forget what there's less of, but he said, he was like, oh, I'm surprised this was here, because the build we played with, we saw it was a little too hard, so we decided to take it out, and the beta had it. I was like, oh, okay. Thanks for updating your stuff there, Bungie. But yeah, so to continue what you said about what you're excited for, I'm not a PvP guy, as I've said once already before, and if you know me from other podcasts or other interaction with me, I'm just going to say it all the time because I just don't like it. I'm not as good as in PvP as, say, the Jigglers and the Nasties of the world, or I feel like my skills are better with the raids and those kind of things, but I was more excited about PvP this time because the way I play PvP, I play like, I play like a wimp. I hide in the back, I team shot. If I'm getting the control flag, I'm the one getting the flag first because I'm thinking objective before killing 60 people and with all the supers, and I'm just that guy that, you know, I'm not the one that leads the charge like Jiggler Nasty does and tells us, okay, let's go left because they're going to go over here. I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, let's do it. But I was very excited that in PvP I actually was a monster because it's all about the team shot. And yeah. I can do that. I'm good at that. When it was those 1v1 encounters, I didn't do so hot, but that's not my thing either. And PvP, this 4v4, is just telling you it's got to be team shots. Even on Countdown, it was pretty much you could not be a hero, you would get murdered. So you'd have to go out with your team and just swarm the enemy. And that, I like that. I like that game style. There are some that don't, and either they're going to have to adjust to that, or, I don't know, Call of Duty World War II is coming out. Saw people play the beta of that this weekend. I don't know, but I like it. I'm a little nervous because I'm not sure if you played Halo back in the day, as they call it, on the Xbox. But this transition between Halo 1, Halo 2, and Destiny 1, Destiny 2 seem eerily similar. And I wasn't a big fan of Halo 2, to be honest. It was good. It was updated. It took the feedback of people that played Halo 1 and was like, hey, maybe we should have done this, should have done that. But I don't know. Halo 2 was one of those games, like, I kept playing it because I was thinking, oh, maybe if I keep playing it, I'll like it. So let me just keep going. And then I got to the end of the game, and I'm like, no, I still don't like it. And you play multiplayer. No, I still don't like it. No, I just don't like this game. And it felt like that to me at first when I played the beta, like the crisp graphics and the way the guns felt. I was like, man, this feels like Halo 2. Because we got so used to the guns that we owned. I think it was Christopher Barrett, who was one of the leads for Rise of Iron. He tweeted out saying, if there was three things you can take with you from Destiny 1 to Destiny 2, what were they? A lot of people were saying their guns. You know, Vision of Confluence, give me my Hawk Moon. Year 1 Hawk Moon, year 1. Not this current Hawk Moon we have, but you know, guns like that. Because they seem familiar to us, and we've gotten used to it. And it wasn't a bad we got used to it. And I get why they're not bringing, I mean, rumor has it, they're not bringing anything from D1 to D2, but you know they're going to bring the Last Word. You know they're going to bring the Gjallarhorn. They're going to bring stuff over. They're not dumb, you know. I don't know. I just think,
you know, great weapon.
Yeah, it's such a great weapon.
It's the nostalgia feel. Like, yeah, it might be different, but I imagine we'll see little bits here and there.
Oh yeah, or it'd be like a Last Word 2.0, because it looks like maybe we're rebuilding a lot of the stuff, and that's cool. And that's what it is. Maybe it's like the Tex Machina or whatever the company is, made a better Last Word. Ah, with no lore behind it. Ah, lore.
10 shots instead of 8. Oh my god.
You actually have to spam R2 and not hold it down. And people are like, oh, you can hold it down. I didn't know that. Yeah, so I'm excited about that, but like I said, I'm a little nervous about that. Is the change too drastic that's going to push people away? I don't know.
Question, you know, so yeah. is it a change that is going to peel off, you know, certain members but add others? It's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, and mind you, yeah, the build we played was, you know, not the final build, who knows, but right. You know, looking at things like time to kill, you know, the team shot for you and for me, who's no slayer in PvP.
Oh, but what a shotgun he is, folks. What a shotgun.
Vincent's yeah, with a player. Shotgun though, I do all right.
Give him a good party crasher. He knows how to rape you.
But you know, it's you know, more suited to natural mediocrity.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, we're not used to being in that slayer position. But you look at guys who are really good at PvP, and that's a big adjustment. You know, you're used to being able to take on like a 1v2. Now, you know, it's a little bit difficult to do that. So, you know, those things are all different. You know, the time to kill also felt a little bit slower.
Yeah, you're right.
And that could have just been weapons, you know. So who knows if that hand cannon, maybe there's a hand cannon that'll 3-tap instead of the 4-tapper we saw. You know, so I was watching the the new Call of Duty, watching Dr. Disrespect, you know, go crazy on there. And what was jarring to me was just how quick the kill time was. You know, I haven't really played COD in a long time, but there's a guy and he's dead.
Yeah.
And that very clearly is not what that's is not happening so far in D2 that we've seen.
And I'm kind of happy that's not the case, too. Sometimes it was really frustrating when you spawned in. You're getting your bearings, and all of a sudden you just got 2-tapped by a Hawk Moon or got 2-tapped by something that was like, wait, whoa, like, come on, that's not fair. And I feel like Call of Duty was always like that, but you kind of walk in with Call of Duty thinking that, like, I'm going to spawn in and get killed anyway because there's just campers everywhere. That's just the nature of the game. It is what it is, and it's been like that since Modern Warfare for Call of Duty 4, even back to Call of Duty 3, you know, when it was not really a console game, but it was on PC. Like, that stuff, it just happened. But in Destiny, it didn't happen. And when it did happen, you're like, wait, what? Either felt like you got screwed up by the spawns.
You got robbed.
Yeah. So,
like, hacker, reporting you.
You shoot me through a wall. How do you do that? An anomaly. You shot through the little bulb thing. So, I mean, I saw that with Mr. Fruit. He was playing, and he got a 1911. Hand cannon. People were just walking in this one base. I guess the maps are the same, but it was like a bunker, and he got on top of the bunker in the area where you shoot people with a Barrett Cal kind of machine gun, and he just lit people up with a hand cannon, of all things. It was a pistol. He was mowing them down. I'm like, I think that's broken, but cool. All right. But
done.
Yeah. But yeah, back to your point. It's like those slayers, they have to slow down, and that's not their style. They like to speed up and get into it as fast as they can into the engagement, like we were saying earlier. But it's almost like now they have to slow down, because if they're too fast, they're going to get punished. And they don't have the abilities, not the abilities of them personally, but the abilities in the game, like the grenades and all the other stuff, are not as strong as they're used to. So they're used to throwing a grenade and he can just one tap or do some kind of in-cutch sniper shot kind of thing where, all right, he's got a little damage on him, her shields are down, so I can just, you know, do this real quick. And here it's not the case, because the shields and the HP of the Guardian and PvP is a little bit different. So it's relearning that stuff. And folks that are really good at the game or have been good at Destiny 1, are they going to have the patience to sit down and relearn this mechanic? Or are they just going to move on and go back, keep to a game that they're really good at since, you know, in this break? Because we've had I don't know, 3-4 month break that a lot of the mainstream players stopped playing Destiny, playing PUBG, they're playing Overwatch, they're playing any other game that's out there now. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. And it's going to be interesting to see also if people come back, because I've seen a lot of posts of you know, stop playing at House of Wolves. Can't wait for Destiny 2. It's like, where have you been, dude?
Yeah, right. yeah, a lot of the big namers, it'll be interesting. Yeah. You know, like your Summit, Eric, those guys, if they're going to come over and what that kind of is like, you know, and I'm curious from a standpoint of, you know, like Trials. You know, we don't really know what Trials is going to be, but that's obviously a huge driver for the game.
Oh yeah.
You know, every Friday during my lunch break at work, you know, I'm pulling it up to watch, you know, I was pulling up to watch Crafty and Goth and
guys right there. Out there in the podcast world.
Do the first Trials.
Right, podcast world right there. He just named Goth another shotgunner. So shotgunners, they stick together. You know what I mean? Just crazy.
Like birds of a feather. But you know, but know like what is it going to look like?
Yeah.
You know, like what? And so when? Like if I am a and guy like too. Crafty who does carries,
mm-hmm.
I can't slay as hard. I have sniper ammo all the time, which is a crime if you're Crafty. Crafty should have sniper ammo at all times, I think.
It's like the Crafty perk.
Yeah, and now he's got a. Yeah, you're gonna carry three people. So you look at it.
You're right.
Wipe. You know they're obviously gonna be at a huge advantage because they've got two people.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what is that? What does that kind of look like? And what kind of adjustments do people have to make? You know, you're not gonna, in my opinion, be able to be carried as much by a guy like a Luminosity, who seemed to have a ton of fun in the beta and he was doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it is different. It's an adjustment, and I think most people will adjust. I mean, you know where your bread has been buttered. It's a robust community that really cares and likes to play the game.
I mean, people will adjust.
And that's good. I think that's good that it's different. It needs to be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see people adjust all the time with
you know, we play the hell out of Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
We just do like thousands of hours. But for the people who just played like, you know, 60 hours or 100 hours, like those are the type of people you need to reengage and get them to maybe become those 1,000-hour players. And I think that's Bungie's idea.
Oh, totally.
Whether it works or not, who knows? But
totally, 100%. That's their goal behind Destiny 2 is to get those people that only played maybe even 12 or 20 hours. Because I always laughed when they go like 1.6 million, just throwing the number out there, but it's a high number of Guardians have played Destiny. It's like, well, if you count those that played the alpha and the beta and who played the game, and especially their demo, because they had a demo on the store that you could only get up to level 7, and after level 7 they kind of locked you out saying, all right, you got to level 7. Now if you want to play more, you got to buy the game from the store or whatever. So I'm sure they counted all those players as the players that played Destiny, because I think those that played the demo, if they just hit the button, their Guardian transfers over into a real Guardian, you know, that can actually do stuff in the tower. But they're trying so hard to get those people back into the game. And so that's one thing that I'm gonna look at with rose-colored glasses as I'm playing Destiny 2 next week, is how much stuff are they going to put on my silver platter? You know what I mean? Like, how much stuff are we going to get that's so easy that you're just sitting there going, wait, that's it? You know, like the Kavok stuff, or even the Gjallarhorn quest. Like, the Gjallarhorn quest wasn't that hard for Rise of Iron. You had those missions where you're in Bannerfall and you had to protect the bombs, protect the ghost from disarming the bomb, and then all those enemies are coming at you. But
well, it was fan servicey than a challenge.
Yeah, and the same thing with the Kavok stuff. You know, it wasn't too hard. So I'm hoping that's why it was easier for Rise of Iron than, say, other things that were done. But I'm just hoping that we don't get stuff on a silver platter because, hey, welcome. Thank you for playing. Here's an exotic. You know, that was one of the reasons why I played Destiny 1 from the beginning, or Dark Below is when I started playing, is the grind to keep doing the activities weekly, because you only had, you know, technically seven chances to get a Gjallarhorn if you do the Nightfall. You had seven chances, and it was all RNG, and some people got lucky, or you got the exotic, but not the exotic you were looking for. It's like, I didn't want Red Death, but, you know, and that's what kept me coming back to play the game. Now, if they're going to do something like, here it is, and you get, like, here's your trusty exotic, and, you know, I get the quest exotics are one thing, but I kind of like the RNG exotics. I liked, You know, I don't mind, say, for the Nano Phoenix. I think that's one of the reasons why people loved playing the Raid. It wasn't because the Raid was awesome, which it was, because people really wanted that Nano Phoenix. And when they didn't get it, they're like, ugh, I'll see you next week. Right, Vince?
Yeah.
But I mean...
I've given up. But I get you. Yeah. I mean, that was my biggest pet peeve with Destiny.
See, I like that. It was the thing I like to hate. Like, I get where you're coming from, but I just love that.
But for a player, and this is where it's a weird balance, you know, because the game is not made for the people who play it for the hundreds of hours, the thousands of hours. You know, it's not made for the Dattos of the world. Mm-hmm. But I think we, as people who consume the game so much, kind of just wish there was something, a record book, where we got to buy every ship. You know, like, I almost had every ship before that was even a thing. And why am I doing it? For no reason. Like, there was nothing there. But, what if there was? Right. You know, so for me in D2, I'm hopeful that they find a better balance for that type of thing. You know, and I don't need... It shouldn't be like, oh, you got all the ships? Here's a Galahorn. You know, here's this OP exotic that no one else can have. You know, but even if it was something like, you know, you're gunning for a shader, or you're gunning for a piece of armor that's level 3 that you can level up that looks cool. Mm-hmm. You know, those types of things I think are important as well. And you know, they hear it because it's a very vocal part of the community that kind of asks for more end game stuff, you know. But yeah, like Three of Coins. Three of Coins was super cool when it first happened. It was like, oh my God, exotics are falling from the sky, and people that could figure out how to farm them. Was it the Draxus? You know, they're farming Draxus. They got every exotic in the freaking game in 40 minutes.
Yep. No, I did it through. I did it through the what do you call it? The Gate Lord. Watching Broman, Gathalion, that team do the Taken King, Kingsfall raid. I'm just sitting there killing the Gate Lord with, you know, all the Three of Coins I had, and yeah, you're right. By the time I ran out of coins and I ran out of strange coins to buy them, I had every exotic that I could get other than the ones that you get in game, like the swords or whatever else. But I mean, first one I got was Jade Rabbit. I was like, all right, there we go.
It took me forever to get Jade Rabbit.
That was my first. I was like, all right, that was easy.
All right.
But three coins need to go away.
I don't know what the balance is.
Yeah. I mean,
there's got to be a better balance.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I get the whole Nightfall, or maybe that what do you call it? That heroic
prestige Nightfall now.
Yeah. What was it? The heroic public events, right? Or those lost sectors. Like, if you do those, you have a chance in an exotic. I'm cool with that. And that's open to everybody. But Three of Coin, I just felt like there's only certain bosses you can cash Three of Coins in on, even though that's the case now where it's got to be an ultra. But let it be, like, you know, maybe be raid only. Like, I liked in Wrath of the Machines that you opened up the chest and it gave you a chance for an exotic. That was cool. I mean, that was an easy way for when I was starting up my Dr. Manbear Pig character, that was an easy way for me to gain all the weapons that I needed to get in such a short amount of time to get the book. It's just do the raid 3 times. You had, you know, it's 2 chests, 4 chests, 5.
They helped me level up big time for my primaries. I remember the first chest I opened in Wrath when I was still underleveled, because I couldn't really grind that week or so before it came out.
Yep.
I got, you know, level 400 last word out of the first chest. And then I think I got another exotic that was level 400, and I was like, oh my God, okay, cool. I can actually go to Axis now.
Yep.
You know, whereas then in there, I would have been screwed. I might not have been able to even clear Vasek, second phase. So, you know, in a raid, I mean, that's, you know, that's the thing. It's like end game, but it should feel impactful. Like, I remember specifically getting that last word and the impact it had on my progression, because it wasn't something that I was spamming. You know, no one remembers that time that they just spent an afternoon just blasting Three of Coins or abusing the vendors with heavy ammo synth to level up to 400. You know, you remember I remember my always 319, you know, and spamming the living hell out of SRL trying to get a freaking helmet because one wouldn't drop in King's Fall. You know, like, I played it so much and I couldn't get one.
Or the failures for me, because I had my 320 It was the class item for me, and I got it. And so I immediately put it into my exotic Dead Orbit class item because it was cool. And I was like, look, I leveled up to 25 on Dead Orbit before a lot of people, because when the game launched, you got an exotic quest. You're like, oh, man, what's this? This is different, and got it done quick. And the infusion calculator was weird with exotic, so I put my 320 class item into my 317 exotic class item for Dead Orbit, and it only got to 319. I'm like, wait, what? Why? Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
I feel like we've all been there. Everyone's been
and
there.
And then I go back to SRL to do it, and it kept giving me helmets. I'm like, I don't need a helmet. I need the class item. And it never gave it to me again, so I was stuck at 319, even though I had 320. I had it. I was tasting it. I looked at it. I'm like, there I am. I'm done. And no, I screwed
it
up.
That's the thing, you know. It's frustrating, but it's also, to me, it's like a fun frustrating, and it's a carrot.
Yes.
You know, I for sure ran Wrath of the Machine, or not Wrath of the Machine, King's Fall, you know, 3 times a week with, like, for a purpose, not for the fun of it. I'm a weirdo, and I really like King's Fall. I think King's Fall is a really fun raid.
If you had the right team, King's Fall was the most fun. Yes. But if you had an LFG team that had no idea what I'm like, everything's weird colored. What am I supposed to do? And then you try to explain them. You got to go and follow the brand. Oh, go LFG. That to me was very frustrating. But if you got a team that knows what they're doing, it was really nice, especially if it was people you didn't know. You had to trust their coordination to jump up 1, 2, 3. You had to trust they didn't die in the bubble. It's stuff like that. That was like, all right, guys, all right, that was cool. And I don't think any other raid really has that, because there's always a hero moment, or like for the Oracles, if you had a guy with a right gun, like a super good advice, and you got teleported in, all you need is really 2 people to get through that section. And not like King's Fall, where you pretty much need all 6.
Yeah.
I think that's why I liked it too, but I hear you there.
Yeah. So for me, like the carrot, you know, like, and that was like the newer Destiny, you know, you had the 1-to-1 infusion, you had the 3 of coins, you had way more quest exotics, which I'm a fan of quest exotics, don't get me wrong, but it felt like you're being given everything. Yep. And so for a lot of players, and, you know, I noticed this as somebody who played a lot, you know, you go from Taken King, where your friends list page is, you know, it's like three rows or whatever, 3 pages deep, on people playing Destiny. And then you just notice it just is slipping further and further and further, even though there's update after update after update. You know, everyone came back for the updated raids. And I think Bungie played it smart. They played it clever. They didn't release them all at once, you know, so it was once a week. So you had at least people were gunning for like a month, 2 months in the latest update, you know, the Age of Triumph one. But
no, absolutely,
for me, like, I just hope there's a better balance in D2, that there's something for the players who are willing to commit and put the time in.
Yeah,
like, everyone doesn't have to get everything.
No, that's true.
I
have to get everything. What are you talking about?
You will, you know what I mean? Like, you will, because you're committed, and I will, because I'm committed. You know, yeah. I'm going to run Omnigal for 18 hours when it's the nightfall to get a God Roll Grasp, know? And I did, and it was kind of fun. Like, I was kind of awesome to figure out the best strat, you know, rolling in with your Goldies and Nighthawks and all of that. You feel like you earned it, you know? I feel like I freaking grinded 18 hours for this gun.
I love it. We found an exploit, especially because I remember that day, too. I remember waking up and saw that the Nightfall was the Fallen Saber Strike. And I was like, I think that's the week I'm going to skip. Okay, cool, see ya. And then that was a day that there was some server maintenance, and they're like, hey, the server's down. We'll be back up at like 4 o'clock or whatever. And then all of a sudden I saw it was the Bungie wall at the time, because Discord wasn't really out yet. I saw the Bungie wall blow up about, I need 2 for Nightfall. It must have Celestial Nighthawk. I'm like, why are people going nuts about the Saber Strike? Who cares? And then I read that it changed to Omnigal, and it was Airborne and Solar Burn. I'm like, oh my, and Small Arms or something like that. I'm like, oh my God, no way. And that was probably the most fun. And like, that's the thing, all the exploits of everything, has been the funnest part of Destiny. And I think that's where, like, people, it's that, again, that balance of what do you do? What do you, you know, if you like it or don't like it, like, I wasn't around for the loot cave. I know there were some people that were, they loved it. I was around for the treasure key hunt in the beginning of House of Wolves, that week before House of Wolves launched. Oh, was that the most fun I ever had on patrol? It was so fun. And they patched it and you're like, why? It was so much fun. If you don't know what that was, you had to do the wolves. The pack of wolves are prowling, which is similar to the way the Taken King or the Taken have taken over the area or whatever. And different wolves came with ships, and you had to go kill them all, and you killed all the yellow bars. And when you killed the last wolf, it said, Varix presents you a gift. And it didn't show you where it was on radar, and it was in that area of patrol, and you had to find it. And so there was like six or seven of you going around looking for this treasure chest, and then you knew somebody found it because you see on the bottom left, so-and-so waves, so-and-so dances, and you're looking around like, where's that guy? Where is he? Oh, there he is. And so you find it, and then the trick was, if you got on your Sparrow, left the area, and then come back, you can re-get that treasure every time. So, and the treasure keys were big back then because the Prison of Elders, you actually had to use the key to get in the chest to get the stuff, where now it's a gimme. You just open the chest now and, oh, look, I got a Her Benevolence. Woo! But back then, no. You had to pray that you had a key. So if you did the really hard level 34, you're like, I don't have a key. Oh, shit. I can't get Her Champion or whatever it is, and you're screwed. But that was so much fun. And then just all of that was just a blast. And the Omnigol farming before doing Wrath, getting all the blues to get the 365. That was fun too, and they patched that. But so that's the thing, that you're going to have those in Destiny 2. Somebody's going to find it. They're going to post it on Reddit. We're going to exploit the shit out of it, and then Bungie's going to patch it. And be like, oh, well, it was fun while it lasted, you know? So, So we were talking a little bit about, you know, again, what we're excited for Destiny 2, and you were, we were talking about exotics. We're talking about hopefully not a lot of the exotics are these quests that are just handed to you. Quests are fun, but not all of them, especially when they're just, you're following a linear path. You want it to be somewhat difficult. You know, there's certain exotics we know about already in Destiny 2. We know about the big, huge gun. I don't know the name of it off the top of my head. That the Titan used, the Gatling gun, machine gun from Suros. You got, let me just pull up the names quick. Let's see. Yeah, the Arc machine gun, or a submachine gun from the, and then you had the Sunshot, because that's easy to remember. Let's see here if I can find. We had Sweet Business. That's the name of that Gatling gun. And Risk Runner, which is the name of that submachine gun that was Arc, which was really good for the PvE part, because if you were taking Arc damage, then you had unlimited ammo.
And all you had to spawn it in that final strike boss.
Yeah, and literally all you had to do was step in the white stuff, the milk, the Vex milk, and that was Arc. So you just stepped in it for a half second, and you had unlimited ammo for 15 seconds. It was really nice. And then now we got the new gun, the cold heart, right? Cold heart.
It's that. Yeah, it's got your pre-orders in.
Yeah, that's the pre-order one. But there was a point I was getting to. Oh, so, but because of what's been happening in the past week, there are now, if you really want to look it up and you really want to just, I guess, spoil it for yourself, there's another four or five exotics that have been released that I don't know if Bungie really wanted that to happen. It was like one of those unintended consequences. And I'm a little miffed, to be honest. I'm a little miffed at what they're doing at GamesCon in Germany and how they're doing the advertising for Destiny 2. They had a solid thing. It was like Sting. If you watch wrestling back in the 90s, the reason Sting got popular was because he didn't say anything. You just saw him. You're like, oh, what's he going to do next? And then he left. And then after, 14 months, he said a word and people were like, oh, he talked. And then you're like, I kind of wish he didn't talk because that kind of ruined it. And it's the same thing.
I love that you're comparing Destiny to Sting, by the way.
Yeah, I love Sting. My man. Oh! But they did that with, you know, they had the strategy. They had that, you know, before E3, let's not let E3 ruin it. Let's do it ourselves. Let's do a press conference in an airplane hangar in San Francisco.
That was cool.
It was so cool.
That's very cool.
They did it on their terms.
It was out there. Yeah. Yep.
It was so good. And then we had a dry summer with a few pitter patters here and there from, you know, Josh Hamrick, maybe some from Luke Smith, maybe some from Mark Noseworthy, and then E3, and then we got, you know, more of the same. Then we got the beta, so we got to actually dive in and play it. And then, you know, then I was ready just to be like, all right, I'm gonna sit here and let a magazine come out like last time Game Informer had. You know, both Taken King and Rise of Iron when it was coming out. So you're just like, all right, I'm going to read the article and maybe they'll throw something else in there. But in the last week and a half, it was a Polish magazine or Polish website, had 90 minutes of just raw gameplay of them playing in the European Dead Zone. And their stuff that they were playing with and characters they were talking to that you're just like, wait a minute, who are these people and where did they come from? And we had no prior requisite of who these people are. And it's like, well, that, I don't want to be spoiled. I want to be surprised. Like, I want to know how we met so-and-so in that church tower. And like, I don't know. And then the next day, Bungie comes out with almost the same video of, hi, this is the European Dead Zone. And Deej is out there going, yeah, isn't it beautiful? It looks like a fallen thing, but it's not. And you still have to worry about the Red Legion. And I'm like, whoa, time out. You're really telling us a lot here. Like, and knowing from Destiny 1 that there, you know, we had a lot of story between the Vex, Hive, Fallen, Cabal. And there's like a little bit of a lot, but it was, but
I love
if you,
you
got
use like air quotes when you said a lot of story in D1.
Exactly. Well, that's the point I'm getting to, is that they've told us enough already. At least between Red Legion and Gaul and all that stuff. And now they're adding the Fallen to this. It's like, stop. I don't want you to tell me the story before the game comes out, because I don't want to sit here on that Wednesday at midnight playing the game. And then by like 6 a.m., I'm like, all right, I'm done. I've beaten the story, and now I know everything about Destiny. Even though they said there's like 80 hours of gameplay and all this other stuff. But the 80 hours of gameplay is kind of similar to what we did in Destiny 1. Like, yeah, you beat the story. Yeah, there's some other submissions, but remember in Taken King, we had to go around and, you know, kill all the blights and kill all the big, major, big Taken guys that actually were hard, like the Horn of Oryx. Like, that guy was hard back then.
What about just getting the Touch of Malice, all that? I mean, that all stuff probably counts in. And that's good. It's content.
It's content, but is that content that you're looking forward to? Like, I have a thing on my little sheet here. Is what are some things that you're going to despise again? Because we've all played Destiny so much that there's certain parts like the sword quest. I'm sure we do not want to go around and get materials for an hour and a half just to get a sword. Like,
yeah, it's a balance of the farming.
That was horrible.
I don't know.
Certain missions are horrible.
Maybe I'm naive, but I feel like they've learned from that. And this is where it's hard, right? Because I mean, I don't want to contradict myself. You know, you want it to be, you want loot to at. You want it to be a challenge, but how do you make it a challenge that is not so boring that you want to gouge your eyes out?
Yes.
You know, and that's...
Yeah, because there's many friends.
I don't know.
There's many friends that I have carried through the Wrath Raid, and I go, hey, all right, this is the time where you pull out your Dark Drinker, and they're like, what's a Dark Drinker? I'm like, oh, it's your exotic Void Sword. Oh, I never did that. And then you hear a lot of that because it took a lot to get the quest started. And then especially the
Such
part where you had to get,
too,
was it 25? You had to get 25 sword kills in Crucible. Like that alone was hard for the average
sword
gamer.
Hilton.
Yeah, sword Hilton. That's all you're
hoping
doing.
Mayhem, you were like, at least I'll get heavy ammo drops a couple times.
Yeah, and then they kind of ruined it because, I mean, in the later, as you know, my new character is trying to do all this stuff anyway. That's why it's fresh in my brain, because I just did it a couple months ago. You know, they changed Rumble. Rumble, you can't load in with people. Like, you could load in with two or three and then have to deal with... It was pretty much a mini skirmish match in a way, if you can load in with three and then you just got three other random people. So it made it unfair. Or it made it easy for those last word, chaperone, sword hilting, questing.
First curse. That's how I got
first curse.
I couldn't get it.
Weren't you there
the
with
imprecation
me
was such a trash hand cannon.
Weren't you there with me when we did it on Asylum and I did it in like the first 3 minutes of a match? Right?
Watching it. Yeah. I was watching you on Twitch at the time.
Oh, sorry, you were watching. Oh, that see, And I'm not, I hate PvP, stuff, but know? Like.
Sometimes you get in the zone.
Oh, I was in the zone, and I'm usually.
It helps to be playing, you know, that skill-based matchmaking.
That's probably what it was.
Playing some kid with only one hand on the controller.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. Like, that's the trick, kids. If you feel like you suck, create a brand new character. You start right from the bottom again. But, I mean, yeah, it's that weird balance like we talked about. And I think the other thing, too, is we got so saturated, or so numbed to the blues, all the blue engrams that we got. And I remember posting on Reddit way long ago, like, there's got to be a blue gun that is a gun that Bungie just hit in there going, this is actually the best gun in the game. I'm not sure why you keep going for these purple guns, like these Fatebringers and all these other godly guns. You get this Helvica HC3, best gun in the game, but everybody keeps trashing it because, you know, it's a blue and it's not max light. And I feel like a lot of those guns could have been better. They could have done something with those instead of, hey, it's a blue at 390 or 380 or 370. It's automatic trash. It's automatically your weapon parts. They might,
you know,
do something
with the skill perks where they've got a uniqueness to them that they could be viable in some capacity.
Yeah. Something like that. Maybe that's what it is. Because I think that's the other thing with the beta. We were talking about the guns and how the time to kill was slow, and maybe that's based on the guns we got. I mean, I remember the beta for Destiny 1, the guns we got were the trashiest auto rifles. It's like the green auto rifle and the green scouts that we get as we progress through the game. That's all we had. And you're like, man, I'm not really gross. Killing these guys. The Sepix Prime Strike was really hard during the beta because we weren't that level yet. And, you know, I just remember that room when they're taking down those barriers, the three waves of enemies. That took like a half hour alone just based on the fact that we had zero good weapons and our supers really didn't do much. Like a golden gun took the shield off a yellow bar wizard. That's all it did. And you're like, oh my God, I got to keep shooting this thing. And he died so quickly. It was like a nightfall. It was almost like we were doing a 400 nightfall and we were 320 light. It was just so hard, but we did it. And I think that's what the same thing with the beta. We just play with these guns and you're like, man, these are like rubber bullets. But who knows? Well, first gun we get in the game might be something that's like, wow, this is so good. Better Devils 2.0. Ah, it's so good. So,
yeah. Well, so back to Bungie, because I want to talk about
the
strategy. I think the thing that intrigues me the most is 2 points with storytelling, right? So it's all the content they just did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's part of it is like, all right, everybody who played D1 that left because the story was trash. It's trash. You have no freaking clue what's going on. Yeah, there's like all of these like potentials and like, ooh, like mystery and yeah, cool. Read the grimoire, go online, blah blah blah. It was not done the best way.
Right.
Taken King comes out, way improved. And you talk to people who play the game like us, well, we would say story's getting a lot better.
Yeah.
And then all the stuff with Gaul and the trailers and stuff and the NPCs. You know, we're gonna actually have freaking NPCs this time. You know, it's like that stuff has all been out there. So, like, to me, story rumors should be kind of squashed. You shouldn't need to push out is a better story.
Mm-hmm.
People to buy it, which to me is the only reason why you would release this stuff right now as a way to advertise, you know, your product. You know, the European Dead Zone, Patrol. You know, a big thing with the Patrol that was a problem is that it was just Farm City. There was nothing to it.
Right.
But if you, and I've only dipped my toe into what they kind of came out with and recently, and it was a big thing was like, we want storytelling elements to be in Patrol and to be in, you know, the European Dead Zone. And I'm sure all of these other places as well, where we're going to be going. And that's great. That's awesome. I believe you. I trust you.
Right.
Show that. You know, you brought the 90-minute clip. Like, I definitely did not watch that 90-minute clip. You know, I watched, like, the introduction. Like, this is the YouTube video. It's like, meet Hawthorne, right? Oh, and she's got a little 30 minutes where she basically just stiff arms Cade to six into the ground. You know, that's cool. Like, okay, I got that story here. you know, in Patrol and whatnot. I don't understand why release it all now. Like, yeah. Now, of all times. Are people really playing Destiny 2? They're going to buy Destiny 2 because there's storytelling in Patrol?
Yeah. Like, is that really the selling point?
That's the selling point. They're like, oh, finally, yes.
My goodness.
You know, like, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. That's, yeah, it's, I think that's what's kind of weird. It's, you're right. The advertising now is just to pump up the people. Most of the people that were that you see on Reddit, that you see on Twitter, they're already pumped up as it is. You know, this beta that's coming out tomorrow for the PC, even though, yes, it's the same exact thing we played on PS4 and Xbox, except for an extra PvP map, and I think that extra mode is in there. I'm not sure. The one where it's like you got people die on each side, and then you're down to zero deaths or whatever it is, and that's like that's it. That's the last. Mm-hmm. Like that mode might be in, but again, we're playing old stuff, old quote unquote stuff, and we're gonna play it because it's Destiny 2 and it's before the launch, and it's like to get us warmed up and stuff like that. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be great. But yeah, you're right. Like, the story of Hawthorne, I mean, the story is still not all there. They just have give us glimpse of it. And we knew the name well beforehand because when we pre-ordered the stuff from GameStop, the very expensive, I think it was the $149 package, you got a Hawthorne messenger bag. And people right there figured out, oh, there must be a new character. Ah. Yeah. So
I think it was $250, man.
Oh, is it $250? Oh, geez. I knew it was really like ridiculous expensive, but
I know I bought it.
But it's like, but you're right. It's like, why release it now? You know, 14 days before Destiny 2, is that really going to be the tipping point for some of these folks that are on the fence? I mean, I would say at this point right now, on August 27th, you're either in or you're out already. Like, you're going to have
You're going to wait till.
Yeah. So somebody says, you know what? This game's good. Go get it. And they'll get it. You know? Like, I got a lot of people like that that played Destiny 1 that left at the Taken King because just it was overwhelming for them. I think the game was great in itself. And you add Crota. Okay. And then you add House of Wolves. All right. And then they add Taken King. It's like, man, you are really layering it away too much. Like, this, what are you doing to me? Like, they just wanted a game like Call of Duty, like something like a Madden, you know, just give me something repetitive over and over that's simple that I don't need to know an encyclopedia's worth of knowledge to play this game. And I think when they added all that stuff to people like us who've been starving for a game like that, that's not just a simple like Grand Theft Auto, I just plug it in and away I go and then I leave and know what's there when I come back to it. Here, it's like it's an organic game that when you come back to it, like, oh, what's this? What's that? What's this? And that's really cool because the story changes, but for some, that's a little too much for them. They're like, I'm done. So I think that's what they're waiting for. They're like, is this a game that I can get into that I don't have to be a nerd to to play the game? Or do I have to be a nerd? Because if that's the case, fuck it, I'm out kind of thing, you know? So... And these videos, I don't know. Like, it's just, it's again, everything that Bungie's doing, it's that fine line. They're on a razor's edge with everything. They either can go all in and help the 2% on Reddit and us that are just going to be the sheep and buy everything because they're so good and they've really haven't steered us wrong. And if they have, they've at least talked to us. That's usually what I'm telling people. Like, they get mad where it's like, oh, I used to use the Red Hand 9 and they nerfed it. And because they nerfed it, I don't like the game anymore. I said, yeah, but then we talked to Bungie and they fixed it. They fixed it in a way that wasn't back to what Red Hand 9 used to be. But at least it's like Fusion Rifles. Fusion Rifles had their day back. You know, for a year, that was the running joke. They got nerfed. And then Saladin's Vigil pretty much gave them the, oh, yeah, this is how good Fusion Rifles are. Kind of thing, you know. So, and if a company didn't listen or didn't care, they wouldn't have touched it. They wouldn't have cared. They would be like, whatever, deal with it. And I think that's why I tell people, like, that's why you want to get back into this game, because they're going to listen and they have more power to change the stuff. I mean, they already talked about it on Twitter that if a certain gun is OP, they can actually attack the gun and not the entire subclass of guns. Like, the Clever Dragon was huge, Grasp of Moloch was huge, and then they slowed down the rate of fire on it just by a hair, and it was enough that really nerfed the gun. But did you really need a nerf? Like, Grasp of Malak, you needed to nerf Clever Dragon because it came with high caliber rounds. But did you?
That was frustrating for me as someone who obviously then grinded for 18 hours for my grasp. Like, it was basically unusable at that point.
Oh, it sucks now. And when they nerfed, like, you do the braced frame thing, maybe it's just a Clever Dragon alone, because high caliber rounds plus the amount of bullets equals the time to kill. But don't do that to the grasp, because grasp doesn't have an extra perk like that, so therefore you just totally killed the gun. It's like same thing with hand cannons, you know. Last word really destroyed all the hand cannons. Thorn really destroyed all the hand cannons because of their perks and the way it works, but yet to nerf their range and to nerf their time to kill, you had to kill the other, 70 hand cannons that were in that class. And it's like, do you ever use the Word of Crota style archetype hand cannon? No, you never do. And you only use the Word of Crota because it had Void Burn on it. But other than that, you never saw anybody use a fast firing hand cannon because it didn't kill people in time. And you nerfed the entire thing because of what? So I like how Destiny 2, it's a gun and not a class that they can affect. That might bring people back into it too.
And they can do it quicker. And not only that, but just in terms of just updates. You know, like, we shouldn't have these huge, long content droughts.
Yep. I have these massive videos.
And maintenance and stuff. So I think that's what I'm excited about, is the kind of the lure. You know, there's going to be a lure there for everybody to keep playing, because they're going to be rolling out with new stuff and new adjustments. And adjustments are, to me, they're kind of fun, you know, like balancing. Think about, you know, like, just grenade usage.
Yep.
You know, like firebolts. You ran firebolts on your warlock, your self-res. I mean, I did.
I
wore Void Fang, so I had one at the start of every round because I was so crappy I needed to use them. And then they're gone. And now it's like, well, okay, now I got to learn something new.
Yep.
Let me learn something even more irritating.
The
stickies. You know, and I got pretty freaking good at stickies.
Yeah.
They weren't that hard.
Ginger
but,
did too. Ginger's, you know, the king of stickies.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that aspect of what they're doing. And hopefully we see more of that. You know, we can see a constantly evolving game. Challenges, you know, new challenges to master. And maybe that's not for everyone, and that's fine. Again, it doesn't have to be for everyone, but for the people who play a lot, you know, it gives them something to break down on Reddit, you know. And we'll have a video from Datto about which sniper rifle you should now use in the raid. And, you know, I kind of like that part. I'm excited for that again. You know, in Destiny 1, we really haven't had that in a long time,
right?
I'm pumped for that.
Nice. I don't think my kid is. He's just now crying in the living room. He's sad about the Datto videos. He's like, I have to rewatch those. Like, I can't just get to the end and see, like, yes, use the gun if you have that god roll with the triple tap cask and mag spray and play instead of this. You know, I mean, I love them because it just solidified that longbow that I got on a random drop from Shax just, you know. And that's the thing. I love how in Crucible, all the god roll weapons that you need for PvE, you get from PvP. The longbow synthesis, you get from a Crucible thing. And then the Burning Eye Scout Rifle from Trials was a god in the raid, but you only get that in Trials. So, I mean, stuff like that. I agree. I hear you there. It should be cool. Like, I loved how they made a big ordeal with those hot fixes. Like, they had it be like, we're going to go on our Twitch page and we're going to talk an hour about all the hot fixes instead of just doing it one at a time, or they fix it as soon as they found it. It was one of those that sometimes they waited for like other little bug fixes before they did them all. And it's like, man, and I think
big reveal.
Yeah. And I think they did that because, and we saw it now, like, as the game was near its end of cycle, how to load into Destiny, you had to, like, pretty much load a map and you walk away for like an hour because it took that long for a level to load. And then by the time it loaded and it's like you clicked two or three sprites, you had to wait 45 minutes. So it was like a day project just to patch one thing, or even to test to patch it and then go into the sandbox and go, nope, didn't work. Let's go back to the drawing board. I just feel like the way they rebuilt this game, the way they redid everything, all these fixes are going to happen. faster than we know it. Like, it might be a thing where day one, something's going to be so OP. Even though we've had the beta, even though we had all the stuff, something's going to come out and be like, oh, no, we got to fix that. And who knows, by Friday, it'll be gone. And it's like, oh, remember the 2 days that such and such gun was so good? But I don't know.
But you know it's going to be there.
Oh, yeah. One thing I'm excited about is to do all this stuff with the clan. We, Vincent and I, formed up with a few other people. We formed up this new clan that we're kind of well-rounded in playing Destiny, that we're both or all people that play Destiny at a gross amount of hours and at gross times of the day or night. I know I'm an East Coast guy. Vince is in the Central time zone, and a lot of our players are in the West Coast, but we all seem to play around the same time based on our jobs and availability and kids and teaching schedules and stuff like that. But I'm excited to get into this game fresh with a quote-unquote new clan, even though we've all played together, I don't know, I'd say since January. We've came together and played and, you know, got to know each other and know our styles and know how we roll in certain things. It's gonna be nice to play all this new fresh content with everybody here that's familiar and that we all just know ahead of time. We're all dedicated to get this done. We're all dedicated to get everything we can and help other people out and try to recruit some people who have the like-minded ability and just overall fun times we have playing Destiny too. So I'm very excited for where we're going with this. I know you're excited too. This is a big thing for all of us.
Yeah, I mean it's a chance to build a community. You know, for me, when I first started playing Destiny, I was not in a clan or I wasn't in anything. I had no clue what was going on at all. I mean, you talked about the House of Wolves stuff. Like, yeah. I played it late. Like, I think I'd started like a month before Taken King. I bought the Taken King pre-order that had Crota and House of Wolves in it.
Oh, okay.
But I couldn't use them. So, like, I was the idiot running around in patrol, super underleveled, getting just rocked by those wolves that were prowling. And just have like some rent. I'd be like, what the fuck is this red bar? Like, oh my God.
With the question marks. Why? Like,
the question marks, it's killing me. You know, and then like, I just remember it was the first time I ever went into party chat with anybody ever. And it was funny because it was like this 8-year-old kid. And it was like Moon Patrol. And he was like the most annoying squeaker in the history of Earth. But he was like, every third thing he would say would be like something that I had no clue about in Destiny. And that's the only reason I stuck with him for so long.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I discovered kind of like, oh, this game's kind of cool. And, you know, checking out YouTube and then Destiny Reddit when Taken King came out was like freaking insane. You know, the sleep requests and all of that. And,
oh, yes. Yep. You know,
E-Guy, man, like for the raids, for Kingfall, like I would be on LFG all night. And so, you know, LFGs, you roll the dice, man. Some groups were great. Some groups were not. Right. Some were memorable because they were or they weren't.
They were memorable because they weren't. Yeah.
and you know, I didn't have that sense of community while I was discovering the game. And so there was a lot of stuff that you know, I didn't know. Like, I just had no clue. Like, I didn't run, you know, Vault of Glass or Crota for a long time because nobody ran those raids on LFG, you know, and I wasn't a part of a clan where I could just post something and say, hey, who wants to go do this? So for me, that's what I'm most excited about, is to start a game, to be part of that discovery with a community of like-minded people that hopefully gets a chance to grow and do some awesome things.
Yeah.
Build those memories up.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm in the same boat, you know, and we're all very resourceful, in a respectful way too. Like I see all the spoilers and I'll post on the wall just for, hey, here it is. It's out there. This is for your consumption if you choose to take it or not. And some do and some don't, but it's not like we're shoving things down people's throats. We're not sitting there talking about the new raid and the new name of it because it's on the PS Trophy thing and all the mysteries that are surrounded behind it. We haven't talked about that on the clan wall, and that's, we're doing that as out of respect for those who don't want to be, you know, they want to be surprised by it. They want to know what the name of it is through natural progression of the gameplay and not just based on, hey, some dude just was bored when he was taking a shit, saw something on Reddit and decided to post it on the wall because, you know, so
yeah.
those are things that we're trying to be. That's the kind of clan we are. We're not ones to, you know, we're all ones that are going to try to be the first to, we're going to try for raid clan, you know, raid first, world first. Don't think we're going to get it, be realistic, but we're going to try our best. And I feel like if we try our best, yeah, we got a shot against the pros that play it 24/7 because that's their job on Twitch or their job elsewhere. You know, we're doing it because for the love of the game in the middle of everything else we got going on in life. So, but yeah, no, I hear you there with all the stuff you're saying with, the Moon Patrol with the squeaker. When I got into the game, there was a friend of mine literally was carrying me through everything and was not really explaining what was going on. He just said, it's kind of like playing with Tox on GTA, like I did with last night. He's like, all right, go into this shop. Okay, buy this helmet. Okay, buy this outfit. Okay, that's it. All right, why did I buy it? I'll tell you later. But I get what he's doing. It was also 3 a.m. and I was kind of drunk. So I get why it was like the quick thing. But this friend did it throughout the entire time. We did Vault of Glass, and then he's like he would say what we need to do, like say the jumping puzzle, he would say that where we needed to go, but he wouldn't really explain it because he's like, you're not gonna do well with it, because he just didn't trust my ability, the fact that I was a new player and he's done, I don't know, like 15 or 20 vaults already. So he didn't trust that I could do it. But then when I got through it the second time, because I saw where they were jumping, I'm like, all right, I can see where you're going, let me figure out how to get there. Okay, second try, because on a hunter it's a little bit more difficult, especially if you don't have the bones. And it was just one of those, yeah, dude, you didn't trust me, you didn't know I could do it. And he's like, oh man, I didn't know. And then so I missed a lot of things progressing up to power level myself up to level 29, because all he did was like, do this, do that, do this, all right, do that, okay, go here, okay, do that. And I missed all the story and I missed all the reason why this. And so when I redid it on my own, I'm like, oh man, why didn't he tell me about this, or why didn't he tell me about that? Or it's just, it was one of those playing the catch-up games, but not a good way. So, you know, and that's something that when we talked about those players that maybe slowly coming back, or who knows, maybe they won't get the game till Christmas. You know, we're not going to sit there and carry you through all this stuff, but if you happen to find us and you're, you know, a good player, we'll help you out along the way. That's what we're going to do. I think one of the strategies we talked about is that
teach it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, one of the strategies I think we talked about, I'm looking forward to, is that we'll, once we complete the Nightfall, we complete some of the harder stuff, we'll go on LFG, the two of us or three of us if it's a four person thing, say, hey, looking for one to do this, and we'll see if they play well and see how cool they are. And if it's like, if we don't see that they're attached to a clan, it's like, hey, what do you think, you want to give us a try? You know, if it works, cool. If not, all right, man, enjoy. Because there's like millions of players playing Destiny. There's 100,000 or so plus clans. You know, we know clans are a thing, but some people, like you said, you and I, when we first started playing the game, had no idea a clan even existed. Like, what the hell is this? Like, we thought it was just a group of friends and not really.
I think there's thousands of people like that.
Oh yeah.
You know, you just look at the number of people who never completed a raid in Destiny.
God. Yeah, the percentage
is astronomical.
Exactly. I think it was like,
it doesn't make sense, but you know, you think about, that's like some of the coolest content in the game, and people didn't feel like they had the opportunity to even attempt it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame. So for us, I think that's what we're really excited about, is trying to build a community and find these people, find these young Vinces and DRMs to them into the fold and create something.
Yeah, I mean, Bungie did a good thing by making guided games. We haven't seen really how it worked in its fruition, because we have to wait for Destiny 2 to come out to really understand the system, but they at least understand that mindset as well. I mean, Luke Smith talked about it on stage about, you know, 15% of people that play Destiny completed the Vault of Glass, which is sad, because like you said, and most people will come talk about it, if you look around and ask people who are very into the game what's their favorite raid, 95% of the folks are going to say the Vault of Glass is their favorite raid. Maybe because it was their first, maybe because that was the one that was worthwhile, maybe that was the one because the weapons you got from that when you grinded that, you know, that game so hard, that raid so hard, that Fatebringer, Vision of Confluence, not really Praetus Timepiece, not really Atheon's Epilogue, but those two, you know, Fatebringer and Vision of Confluence, were two of the best guns you could get in the game that were very, very well rounded. They had to grind for, and so the loot really equaled the effort to put into it, and people just loved that whole mystique of the story and that problem solving and stuff like that. Where the other raids, they had it, but it wasn't. It was pretty much an extension of Vault of Glass. Like, ah, Vault did it first, so therefore Vault was the best. And there's so many people that never done Vault, even when it came back out for Age of Triumph. You know, never did it. And it's a shame. So Bungie did a good job with the guided games, gives folks the opportunity to do it through normal mode. We'll see what happens, but yeah, it should be fun. Should be good.
Yeah, and I'm excited most about the teaching aspect. You know, like I don't want to pull people through. Like you had mentioned, you know, my first Vault of Glass experience was for the No Time to Explain. And it was these five guys who knew exactly what they were doing and me just wiping at every encounter and them just five-manning it because they were over-leveled, you know. And yeah. I didn't learn anything. I was just like, what? This is crazy. Like, what's happening? And then I just, boom, I got the thing I needed and then I was done.
You shattered the eye. Atheon's eye. And you're like, what is this?
I got
this?
The eye. I got Atheon's eye.
And you got a 170.
And so for me, like, that's what I don't want. You know, I don't, right. Like, it's one thing I think for a clan to focus on getting people their clears. Like, I'm less interested in getting people clears and more interested in teaching them how to get clears so yep. that they can help than others, so it just can grow exponentially.
Yeah,
you know,
it's fun being the person, you know, like Tox has been the oh my god, what is that, not the timekeeper, my god, what's the boss in Vault, this the second one, so the thing that didn't teleport god.
With the shield,
yeah, I forgot the dude's name anyway.
Guys, so, played this game
and that's the problem. You play the game so much and you're like, that guy, you know, the big guy, that guy. But, you know, Tox is good with that. You know, I've been known to
shout
be
out
a good,
to Tox. He's the man on that part.
And I've been known to be a good brand runner, and so is Vince, and other things that we've done in the game that we just are known for certain things. Like, Umbreon's a great Titan skater. Ether's really good with the
pink blur.
Yeah, the pink blur. Ether's good with a sniper. So there's things that we just all are good at, and we learned it from based on either other LFG groups just doing bad at it, or it's just something we're naturally good at. And we're hoping that we can just teach everybody. Like, somebody's got to get something quick, and like, oh, okay, and then we'll teach it and practice it, and hopefully we'll have that environment for everybody, not just sit there and go, oh, I'll do it for you just to get this done and over with. And like, there's a time and a place for all.
Twice. We got to wipe twice. I'm about to quit. You know, yeah. Like, that's not our style at all. So I'm excited about.
Oh, no. We've done the only time we've ever quitted was a 2-hour run on Crota, and only because I think the servers were acting wonky. That's what I'm going to name. That's what I'm going to put it as. Because every other time, it's never been an issue at all.
How about that one?
Our darkest hour in the clan that hasn't been formed yet. So awesome. Well, I think we're gonna wrap it up here. We talked about the clan. The clan is Choose Your Misadventure. You can find us on the Bungie wall. If you hear this through iTunes, just look us up. Send us a message and just say, you know, what kind of player you are. I know we've gotten some random messages and it's like, hey, who are these people? But send us a message. Let us know if you're interested. Well, you'll find us on the Bungie website. You can find us all on Twitch, too. I know I'm on Twitch, Dr. Manbear Pig. You make sure you put a 1 instead of that I at the pig. Vince has been on. Vincent Shiner has been on every once in a while. Mostly doing just fun playthroughs. You played a game over the summer for us. Some kind of alien game, right? I forget what it was.
Isolation, pretty good. I did a little bit of Horizon Zero Dawn, but I was just playing it really slow, so I figured it was boring, so I didn't stream at all.
Hey, Alvor watched me, and he played the game already, and I was going through slow, because with that game, I just grinded the fuck out of it. You know, like, every
did
little...
I found everything.
Yep, you got into an area.
It's an incredible story. Ugh.
You start killing those monster things, I forget what they're called, but you just kill all of them, and you try to collect each one of the hearts, and then I ran out of stuff, so you have to go to a merchant and then sell it all, and then... I did that to the point where even Miggy was like, dude, you have plenty of time to do this. Just play the game. I'm like, no, this is fun. I want to sit here and just kill these.
This great game design. You know, it was good. Great game design.
Combat was good. Story was pretty good. Left you hanging in the end. You know, Zavala, we don't know where he's at. You don't know what he's thinking, but or whatever his name is, Psylocke, or whatever his name is.
Psylocke. You'll see coming November, I think.
Is it? One. Okay.
I think so. I'm excited.
It's not.
I'll take a little break from Destiny 2 to play that one a little bit here and there.
I know.
But I should be streaming a lot more often with D2.
We'll all be streaming the initial game when it comes out. I know some of us will do it for the viewers, the bits, the money, or just the fact that here it is for friends to watch. I know I got people who are going to be deployed overseas soon, so they're going to watch on my Twitch just to see what they're going to get to when they come back to the States, whenever they come back.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it should be fun. But so we'll be doing this hopefully on a regular basis. This is just our first to see how it goes, see how we vibe, see, get some feedback, and then who knows, maybe after the launch we'll come back and talk about what we found, what fun things we liked, maybe some things we hated, and we'll go from there. So, cool. Any last words, Vince? The last word.
Good. Just excited. Excited for the future. Possibilities, man.
Nice.
Good stuff.
The future. Very good.
Thanks for everybody who listened.
Yeah.
Mom on iTunes!
Yeah. Woo! He made it to iTunes. Yeah. Woo. All right, cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you next time. I don't have a good catchphrase. Do you have a catchphrase to say at the end? Like, yo mama?
That's a good one. My catchphrase is just, let's get weird. But I don't know. Like...
Get swifty.
Go get weird. Go get weird out there.
Go get weird. Yeah. Let's get swifty, but that's a Rick and Morty thing. So, all right. We'll get weird. We'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody.